Hey friends, my name is Becky Kopitsky, and this is the Inspired Business Podcast, where we talk all about how to earn a God-honoring income from your creative work so that you can serve more people in less time and sustain your message financially. In this show, you'll discover smart and biblically sound strategies for growing your reach, promoting your content, honing your craft, and building a business that's based on your top priorities of family and faith. Together, we're going to boost your influence and your income so you can keep changing the world one conversation at a time. I am so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Inspired Business Podcast. We have wrapped up the first month of 2024. January flew by. How did that happen? How has the first month of the new year performed for you and for your business so far? Did you have a slow start? Or did you hit the ground running? What do you still want to accomplish this quarter? You feel like you're on track. For me, my business is growing, so I need to be really intentional about not working too much and putting up boundaries to make sure that I'm investing time in my family and in my walk with God, because they are the reason that I run this business in the first place. But I'm telling you what, with teenagers in the house, the tables have turned, and now I'm the one asking them if they have time for me. It used to be that my girls would say, "Mom, do you have to work today? Can we play a board game? Can we go to Starbucks?" And now I'm the one saying, "Clara, do you have to work today? How late does rehearsal go? How much homework do you have? Can you play with me?" But my younger daughter, Noelle, is still homeschooling this semester, just one more semester to go before she heads to regular high school in the fall later this year. So we do still have a lot of togetherness, and I love it. She's a homebody like I am. In fact, she imagines that she might want to go to college close by someday so that she can still live at home and avoid the dorms where she can't bring her reptiles to live with her. We have many reptiles that live in her bedroom. In enclosures, of course, they don't just run free, but I'm telling you what, she's going to be a brilliant animal scientist someday. But people are still always going to be a factor in life, right? As much as she would rather spend her time with her animals than most people besides her best friends, people are always going to be a factor in all of our lives, and we tell her this often. And I just wonder, are you shy about connecting with people? Are you a natural people person? Or does the idea of reaching out to others and building relationships, does that make you feel some anxiety? Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking here on the podcast about partner marketing, which by its very nature involves reaching out to partners, meaning people. And not everybody is thrilled about that part of the task. So today, we're going to wrap up this three-part series by talking about the interpersonal part of partner marketing. How should you go about connecting with partners? How can you find them in the first place? Where do you find them? And what makes a really great partner as opposed to a less effective partner? So we're going to answer those questions today. And let's begin with that last question. What makes a great partner? Well, I've got three factors or criteria that I would suggest you look for in a partner. Okay, the first, your partner or your affiliate should be someone who serves the same target market that you serve, but with a non-competing product or service. So for example, let's say that you serve young moms, your audience is young moms, and your product is an online course on how to teach Bible verses to kids. Okay, that's you. Then here over on the other side of the spectrum is Sally. Now she's a potential partner because she also serves young moms. She has a podcast that's all about healthy eating and exercise for toddlers. Now, Sally's a Christian. She serves mostly Christian listeners just like you do. So your audience, yours and Sally's, they are the same type of person or the same avatar. But your products, your offerings, your areas of expertise are different. Sally's audience is interested in teaching Bible verses to their kids. They enjoy that. They would like that. They would appreciate that. But they're not learning how to do that from Sally, because Sally is teaching about healthy eating and exercise for kids. Now, your audience, because they are also young moms, they're also interested in healthy eating for their kids, but they're not learning about that from you. So when you and Sally, who have different niches, when you come together and partner, you can expand the knowledge that you provide to each other's audience. Now, sometimes the relationship does not go both ways. Let's just clarify. Your partnerships do not always have to be reciprocal. Let's say Sally's audience is interested in learning how to teach Bible verses to kids, but your audience is not really interested in healthy food for their toddlers. That's okay. As long as you can provide something that the partner's audience is interested in, you don't have to promise to promote the partner in return. You can reward them in other ways, such as through an affiliate commission. If the opportunity exists, though, for cross-promotion, that's great. But if not, you can still benefit from a one-sided share with some sort of mutual reward, and your partner can benefit as well. So that's the first criteria. Your partner or your affiliate should be someone who serves the same target market that you serve, but with a non-competing product or service, okay? The second factor or criteria to look for in a partner is someone who is enthusiastic about your business or your ministry and genuinely wants to support you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to know this person well, but they have to be very enthusiastic about the type of content that you provide. So the less you have to convince somebody to share about your message or your offer, the more successful your campaign will be. So when you're looking for partners, consider who is already a fan of your work, or at least a fan of the type of work that you do. For example, if you are serving young moms with content about how to teach the Bible to kids, you're going to want to find partners who are passionate about equipping kids with spiritual growth, for example, okay? But back to this idea of considering who's already a fan of your work personally. This might be your clients, might be your closest colleagues or your mastermind group partners, or just friends in your niche who know what you do and can vet its value. Now, we're going to talk more about that in a minute when we talk about exactly how to find partners. So for this moment, just know that one of the factors that makes a good partner is someone who actually supports your work, or at least the type of work that you do. Okay, number three, the third criteria or factor to consider in what makes a really great partner is someone with an active email list or social following. Now, this is not required, but it does help. Remember, your ultimate goal with affiliate marketing or partnership marketing is to get more leads and more sales. The bigger the pool of people your partner can introduce you to, the more leads and sales you'll have the potential to gain. But size is not the only factor here. You want to find partners whose audience is engaged. Your partner can have a smaller audience, but as long as their people are likely to participate, you will be in good shape. And let me just clarify here that I do encourage you to build genuine relationships in the marketplace, regardless of a person's following or the size of their success. I'm not talking here about social climbing or building a professional network for superficial reasons based on what others can do for you. Not at all. We want to be focused primarily in partnerships about what we can do for them, and that's going to come back around. There are great blessings to be found in networking with fellow creators of all shapes and sizes. However, when it comes to choosing partners for an affiliate campaign, just by way of numbers, the math equation, you are likely to get greater results if you partner with someone whose audience is substantial or engaged enough to convert. So if possible, find a mix. Don't let size be your only criteria, but do at least try to find one or two partners in your activities that have a larger audience than you have or same size audience that you have, but don't at the same time allow that to be a deterrent from working with people with smaller audiences, because that goodwill always comes back around. Okay, so that was the criteria. Now let's talk about some suggestions for finding these partners. Where do you go to find these great fit people? First of all, go to your friends. If you have friends in the content industry who meet the criteria, talk to them first. You already have a relationship with them, so it's a natural starting point. If you have built genuine friendships over the years with other coaches, other authors, other speakers or podcasters, go to those folks first, again, if they meet the criteria. Secondly, look at your colleagues. Look for people in any member groups that you're a part of, masterminds that you're a part of. If you're being coached by the same person or in the same program, that's a good starting point. Now, I run a member group called the Funnel Club. Some of you are in that group. I always encourage my Funnel Club members to seek out partner relationships within that group. That's one of the advantages of being in a member group, and I don't shy away from that fact. So any programs or business groups that you're a part of, look there for potential partners, but do make sure you're not stepping outside of whatever the conduct guidelines are for that group. So for example, if you are part of a coaching group and your coach does not want you to be promoting yourself or your business among the colleagues there, just make sure you know what those boundaries are. But if you're in a group where it's encouraged and welcomed, or reach out and ask the coach or the mastermind leader if it's okay if you share about the opportunity to partner with you, because that is an excellent place to find people who could potentially work with you, and it's going to be a win for you and a win for them and a win for the customer, like we mentioned in previous episodes. So next, after you've looked at your friends and your colleagues, who do you admire? Who do you follow? Here we're talking about people who are potentially a step or two ahead of you in some area. This could be coaches, could be podcasters, speakers, or authors. Who are the people that you look to for advice? Do they meet the three criteria? Then don't be afraid to reach out to them, especially if you have a relationship with that person. If this is a warm lead and not a cold call, then definitely take a chance and ask. Even if your business is smaller, that doesn't mean that they won't be interested in sharing your offer with their audience if your offer fills a need for their people. Also, if you are a podcaster, look to your network of guests, people you've interviewed for your podcast, if you do an interview style podcast. Could those guests from your podcast be potential partners for your offer? Now, podcasters have a tremendous advantage over many other content creators. Again, if their podcast uses a guest interview format, because the nature of that content is to build relationships and to have authentic conversations. So consider which of your podcast guests might meet the three criteria and reach out to them. Now, what if you don't have a ton of existing relationships? You can definitely still succeed in partner marketing. You just need to spend a little time developing your network. So here are some easy ways to do that from the comfort of home. First, join some free Facebook groups of like-minded content creators. Start commenting on posts. Get to know people in the group. Offer ideas, offer support. Please, though, be genuine. Do not join a Facebook group just to hijack it with cold call DMs to the other members of that group. Nobody likes that. I want you to look at this as a long game. Genuinely interact inside these groups, and you're likely to find people you really are happy that you've met. Try to identify potential partners while you're being a real person with a real heart for your fellow business owners. Also, check out podchaser.com. Podchaser.com. I'll link in the show notes to that website. It's basically a library of all the podcasts out there. So find podcasts in your niche or related niches where your ideal customers might dwell, and then consider reaching out and asking about being a guest on those podcasts. Now, another reason or another resource for finding partners in this way, if you don't have a lot of existing relationships, or even if you do, is the ConvertKit Creator Network. Now, this is exclusive to people who use ConvertKit, but if you do and you're not on the Creator Network yet, you might be missing out. Start searching for other creators in the Creator Network that are in your niche. Find who's connected to whom, and then you can sign up for other people's email lists so that you can start to get to know them and build a relationship. ConvertKit has this built-in community called the Creator Network where you can find out who else is sending emails, who else is sending newsletters, who else has podcasts and sends emails to their audience through ConvertKit. And they have an actual system set up whereby you can refer other people. You can refer other people to your audience and say, I recommend signing up for this person's email list, and they can reciprocate and do the same for you. So that's a great place to find potential partners for partner activities beyond just that referral into the email list. Okay, finally, that was what you can do from home, but my last suggestion for where to find potential partners is to attend a conference or a writer's retreat or some sort of in-person gathering of that nature. These are some of the best places to spark friendships in the industry. So just like I mentioned, though, with Facebook groups, please don't go into these events thinking solely about what others can do for you. Be genuine. Take an interest in people for the sake of humanity, not for business deals. But from these genuine relationships, partnerships will naturally form, and you're going to be blessed in so many ways beyond partnerships by attending a community event like a conference or a retreat. These friends often will become, down the road, your biggest cheerleaders as well. Now, one last big question. How do you ask potential partners to work with you? And I'm not going to leave you hanging on this because I've been saying all along, reach out and ask if they'd like to partner. Okay, Becky, but how do we do that? I just want you to remember, this part does not have to be complicated. Basically, you need to get brave and reach out and send what's called a pitch. But if you're connecting with somebody you know well, first of all, don't worry about being super formal. Just shoot that person an email or a DM and ask if they'd be interested in partnering. Make your first message really just short and sweet and see if they'd like to chat more about the details. And if they do, then you can either keep chatting over email or you can book a Zoom call to brainstorm some possibilities. Now, the exception to that casual approach would be pitching to be a guest on someone's podcast. Even if you know the host well, many podcasts have a process to go through in order to submit your pitch to be a guest. So at least check the podcast website first to find out if they have a submission form or a more formalized process that you need to go through in order to be considered a guest. For other partnership activities, though, like we talked about last week, if you know somebody well, a casual email or a DM is a great way just to start the conversation. However, what about if you're reaching out to somebody you don't know well? Then I want you to follow this basic formula. This is going to be a very basic overview. Start your pitch or your message with a connection point. Maybe mention one of the person's articles that you read recently, or give some genuine encouragement on how their work has impacted you. And be real about this. If you're going to pitch to somebody you don't know well, get familiar with their newsletter, get familiar with their podcast. Find out if this is somebody you actually want to partner with anyway. You would have done your homework to figure out if they have the three criteria. And in doing that, you're going to be getting to know their content. So reach out to them in your pitch with some sort of a connection point where you tell them how you appreciate the work that they're doing, or maybe a podcast episode that they had or an article they wrote really made a difference to you, and tell them how. Again, this is not to butter them up. You're being genuine. If you find somebody you want to partner with, but you really don't like their content and you don't have anything positive to say here or real to say here, then you've got to take a step back and ask yourself, why do I want to partner with this person? So you ought to have some sort of a positive connection point in the beginning and give them some genuine encouragement. Or also, if you have a friend in common, ask if that friend might connect the two of you for a more personal introduction. Then after that connection point, just briefly share what it is you do and why you have a passion for your shared audience. And then ask if they'd be interested in partnering to serve their audience with your expertise. But make sure you focus on what's in it for them. So I'm just going to give you a really quick example. This is not, you know, like the gold standard or anything. I'm just going to use myself as an illustration. This is going to be a brief email that I'm going to send to, say, my colleague Jane. Okay, this is fictional, but I'll just say, hey, Jane, I've been following your newsletter, and I really appreciate your heart for helping authors launch their books. I'm also a writer and I'm a coach, and I serve an audience similar to yours through a program called the Inspired Business Mentorship. Now, my jam is helping content creators and business owners sell digital products for recurring income. I'm looking for potential affiliates to spread the word about my program for a $500 referral bonus. Any chance you'd be interested in hearing more details? And that's it. I shoot out that brief email. If she gets back to me, if her curiosity is piqued, and she says, yeah, let's talk about it, then I will follow up with either a lengthier email containing more specifics, maybe suggesting certain partnership activities, or in this case, I'm probably going to propose a guest training for her audience. And then I'm either going to, like I said, explain that in detail over email, or I'll just say, hey, do you want to hop on a call to talk about this? You can use email if you're not the kind of person who feels comfortable hopping on a Zoom call with someone you don't know well. Just kind of feel it out and figure out what makes the most sense to you, what's genuine to you. And then once Jane and I have worked to identify our partner activity, we found a date for it, we've made some plans, then I'm going to give Jane what I call partner assets. And that's stuff like swipe copy and promo images that she can use to promote our partner activity to her audience. The goal here is to make it super easy for your partner to promote what you're doing together. And then we're going to complete our activity. I'll get some leads, She'll gain appreciation from her followers for providing quality content. And if we get any conversions, we likely are going to get conversions. If I've said that this is going to be an affiliate relationship where I'm giving her, like I said, the referral bonus, then she gets paid. I get paid with new customers. And a customer now is on their way to achieving the transformation that my program promises. See, it's all a win, win, win. It's that triple victory that I talked about in part one of this series a couple of weeks ago. So, what do you think? That wraps up our episode for today and our three-part series on partner marketing. So tell me, who are you going to reach out to about potential partnerships? I encourage you this week to make a list of just 5 or 6 people that you could connect with to pitch the idea of a partnership. If you engage in just 1 or 2 partner activities in a month, every month, your business will grow. Your experience in this area will grow. Your list of happy customers will grow, and you will be achieving the goals that you set for yourself and your business. Partner marketing is that powerful. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next week, God bless. Thanks so much for tuning into the Inspired Business Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, if it spoke to your heart in some way, would you take a screenshot of it and post it to your socials or email it to a friend? The best way that we can help more Christian voices reach the world with their content is by working together to share God-honoring tips and advice, which is what I aim to do here on this podcast. So thank you for spreading the word and for walking alongside me on this Inspired Business journey. God bless you and your household. I'll see you next time. Thank you.